The official church history tells us on August 5th, 1851, after evening prayer and sermon at the Methodist Church, the Reverend John Long, an Episcopal priest assigned to missionary work first in Montrose and then in Scranton, gathered some of the worshipers for the purpose of organizing an Episcopal parish. At that first meeting, wardens and vestry were elected, and St. Luke the Evangelist, the beloved physician, was chosen as the parish's patron. Music was central to the life of the church from the very start.
Our first rector, John Long, who came from Montrose, when he came to Scranton to establish a parish after they settled on a site and built the first church building on Penn Avenue, he felt that we needed an organ, so he took a horse and wagon and went to New York City in the early 1850s and came back with an organ, which we don't have any details about it, but we can be fairly certain it was probably a melodeon or another modest-sized reed organ, and that served the parish for the first 15 years or so. And when the present sanctuary was completed in 1871, it was intended that it would be outfitted with a pipe organ. And we have had pipe organs there since.
Francis McMullen, baritone with the ensemble serving St. Luke's, and someone instrumental, pardon the pun, to the lovely story we're about to tell. Until very recently, St. Luke's Church in Scranton has had at the center of its liturgical programming a 1964 24-rank three-manual M.P. Mueller organ. We just heard about St. Luke's organ traveling by wagon in the 19th century. Well, happily, the church has been able to arrange for its present instrument to travel to Lawrence, Kansas, to be rebuilt and enhanced at the Reuter Organ Company shop there under somewhat better traveling circumstances. That's where Francis McMullen comes in. He was able to bring St. Luke's full circle with the arrival of another reed organ, echoing the earliest days of music making within the congregation when that original organ took its wagon ride from New York to Scranton. We had a visit from Reverend Rebecca Barnes, priest in charge at St. Luke's, Maria Zengin, organist and choirmaster there, baritone Francis McMullen at St. Luke's, and Justin Hartz, a graduate of Westminster Choir College and the Juilliard School, and an authority on SD reed organs. We'll hear Hartz throughout the conversation in a recording made earlier that day at St. Luke's Church by Carl Schinko of Longfooter Productions in anticipation of a recital there by Hartz this Friday evening. Mother Barnes sets the stage.
St. Luke's has had a long-standing commitment to very fine quality music, not just liturgically, but in being a venue for various groups in the area to offer music to the community, primarily choral groups, but we've had a number of different concerts and forms of music that are offered, and it's a joy to be able to do that. There's just a very close connection, I think, between music and certainly the church. I don't know if it's true or not, but as a musician myself, I've heard that the reason that we wear the color that we do, the pink, on the academic regalia was that it was that divinity is red and music is pink and that it's watered down divinity. Now, I don't know about that, but music is certainly next to godliness.
Maria, tell us about the organ we have come to know and associate with St. Luke's. Not the visitor, not the guest, but the organ we've come to know.
I will be very honest, and it has not ever been my favorite instrument. I was very blessed to learn on some of the best instruments in the country. And the reason why I have taken the job as organist choirmaster at St. Luke's was, first of all, to work with Mother Barnes, and number two, to work with Francis McMullen, Carol McMullen, Lauren Cuccia, and now we have a nice tenor. So the music that we perform during the Eucharist is on such a high level and very aesthetically pleasing. So this is a big reason why I am there, and now for the second time. The reed organ, the SD reed organ, is here now, and this was a brilliant idea from Francis McMullen, and it just came up, and he said, hey, there's this two-manual and pedal SD reed, you know, let me see what I can do. I never played anything like that before, ever, but I knew of a gentleman who was a brilliant player, and knew a lot about these instruments, and it was Justin Hartz. He was 1 year ahead of me at Westminster Choir College.
And Francis, how did you put two and two together?
I presently work at the Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple in Scranton, which still functions as a Masonic meeting place and edifice, as well as being a venue for the performing arts in Scranton. And there are two theaters in the building. There is the large Weinberg Memorial Theater, where Broadway Theater and Philharmonic would perform. There's a smaller theater and large lodge room on the fourth floor, Shopland Hall. Both those spaces have pipe organs installed from the construction of the building. They are by the Austin Organ Company, and they are opuses 1731 and 1732. Then on the third floor, we have the Masonic Lodge rooms, and that floor is typically restricted only to Masons and their activities. And in the larger lodge room, Snyder Hall, there resided this big Esty two-manual and pedal studio reed organ. And my understanding is this was created to be a practice instrument for conservatories, where bench time for the pipe organ may have been at a premium, and it would give organ students an opportunity to practice on an instrument that still had multiple manuals for the hands as well as a pedal board for the feet. Unfortunately, the use of live music in Masonic meetings has fallen off through the years, and this particular instrument had not been utilized for a long time. And when the lodge room it had been housed in was undergoing some renovating for paint and carpeting and floor refinishing, the Masons decided, we don't use this anymore, why don't we move it somewhere else? So this wonderful instrument kind of sat in a hallway, gathering dust and not doing anything. So when St. Luke's pipe organ went out for refurbishment and expansion, and it looked like, oh gee, we're not going to have an instrument for 3 or 4 months. What are we going to use to accompany services? And I inquired of my supervisors at work whether or not the Masonic Temple and Scottish Rite Cathedral Association would consider loaning the instrument out to St. Luke's in the interim. And they were very kindly disposed towards the idea. And so in September, the Esty moved 3 blocks from the historic Masonic Temple to historic St. Luke's, and it has been playing for Sunday services ever since. And soon the refurbished pipe organ will return, and the Esty will go back to the Masonic Temple, and I'm afraid it's probably going to go into seclusion and not be heard from again, perhaps not in my lifetime. And I thought that would be kind of a tragedy, that only people coming to church would get to hear it. So Maria had the idea, hey, maybe we can have a recital, and I know just the person to come and play on this instrument.
Justin, you are that musician. How did this type of organ come into your life?
This particular type of organ came into my life when I was a teenager studying pipe organ, and I was too young to know how to drive. So my parents and my brother would have to take me to the cathedral to practice the organ every day after high school. The organ that I wound up getting was an Esty Model E, which is a slightly smaller two-manual and pedal Esty reed organ from a Franciscan monastery that no longer wanted to use it. So we purchased it, took it apart, and moved it. My dad and I rebuilt it so that it, to this day, it still is in daily use as a practice instrument.
What do you love about it, and what's distinctive about the sound?
For one thing, it's an acoustic sound. It's produced by a vibrating reed. There's nothing electrical about it at all. There are no speakers, no amplifiers. Reed organs have a mechanical action, so it's like playing a tracker action pipe organ. Instead of having pipes that go up to 16 feet in length, they use metal reeds that only go to about 8 inches in length. So in the space of a normal size two-manual organ console, you have 547 reeds instead of 547 pipes, taking up many square feet of space. And these speak with rather sweet, stringy tones as well as reeds, and it works very well for accompanying the human voice.
Maria, how did you know about Justin's interest in the reed organ?
He always spoke about Esty Reed
I didn't know what they were. My mind was very closed when I was young. Just recently, my mind is opening as a musician, and my friends are probably laughing at me hearing this. I enjoy this instrument. When I started playing Brahms, especially, I had several people, including Francis, say, "This is amazing. Now I know where he's getting his inspiration for this." Was one spot in the Requiem. And I thought, I'm going to see if I can learn the rest of the Brahms chorale preludes, because everything is making sense, and I want to learn more romantic pieces. I know you're looking at me, because I normally don't play anything after 1750, but this organ has opened my eyes and my soul.
Tell us more about what you heard in the Brahms, Francis.
Probably what made me think about the suitability of this instrument for Brahms. Maria had a book of the Brahms chorale preludes, and I remembered that on Christmas Eve for the late service, we usually have a short program of choral and organ preludes before the midnight service. And it's become a pretty reliable tradition that one of the pieces the organist will play is Brahms' chorale setting of Es ist ein Rosensprungen. And I kind of really begged Maria to just play that one Sunday after church, and she's like, "Well, I haven't really played that for a while, but I'll have a go at it." And it was so perfect to hear on this instrument. The sounds that usually organists will try and register on a pipe organ, a lot of strings for this, and it mimics a choir in its sound, and it's just an absolutely perfect piece for that instrument. It's a beautiful marriage. I think you hear some of the similar writing, choral writing from Brahms in the Requiem. It's definitely in there. And you hear his reverence for Bach in his instrumental and choral writing, which Brahms studied that very intensely.
And Justin, you were nodding just now.
I didn't know about that story, and I plan on playing Es ist ein Rosensprungen on the program on Friday. That's why I was nodding.
How about that?
It works perfectly on reed organ. In fact, I played it this summer in Vermont on a tracker organ. Actually, I didn't use the tracker organ for that piece. I brought a portable SD reed organ with me to play some Brahms because it works so well on these instruments.
How do you go about introducing us to an instrument like this when you play it in recital?
I always like to tell about the music, the sort of sounds you'll hear coming from the organ. I give the audience members names of the stops, mention where I'm going to use them, so that you know what to listen for. You'll know when to listen for the oboe. You'll know when to listen for the trumpet. You'll know when to listen for the strings. Things like that really help you engage in the music and appreciate it even more.
You said that this organ is wonderful for accompanying the voice. Tell us something about the concept of the organ and the voice, about breath and breathing.
Organs, whether they be pipe organs or reed organs, are wind instruments. The wind is supplied either by someone cranking the organ, as in this case, or with an electric blower, which we also have the option of and will be using for the concert. So, since it's always breathing, the organist needs to take a breath in the music for it. If not, the music gets deadly dull. So you really have to think like a singer and play like a singer. And there's something about the natural acoustic sound of reeds and pipes that do that beautifully and naturally and carry beautifully in a space with a nice, good acoustic like St. Luke's has. you were mentioning about composers for the organ. The reed organ has a long and rich history that sort of gets put on the back shelf in the history books. Before homes had electricity, people had reed organs at home to play. The SD Organ Company was started in 1846 and built organs up till the 1960s. The largest organ manufacturing company in the world at the time. They built over 500,000 of these instruments. They also built several thousand pipe organs, which are lesser well known. So this was part of the musical vernacular. Composers not having access to a pipe organ or someone to pump it for them had reed organs to compose on, as well as pianos. So these instruments started out in the United States as melodeons, which is a small one-manual organ, about the size of a small square grand piano. And one of the pieces I'll be playing on the program is taken from one of the earliest published collections of melodeon music. John Zundel's Melodeon Instructor, and I'm playing from an original score from 1855. Variations on what they entitled God Save the King. We know it, of course, as America. Yes, there was no radio, no automatic music at that point. So if you heard music, you either heard it in church, went to a concert, or produced it yourself.
What about improvising?
Improvising's wonderful. The sounds just lead you to places you didn't expect to go, and it's very satisfactory. Mm-hmm. Very devotional quality to it, too. Works well with church modes and things, as well as just, you know, popular music from the turn of the century or whatever. It's a good natural instrument.
Tell us about singing with it, Francis.
Singing with it in the context of a church service, I can't say what it's like for the folks out in the pews. The physical arrangement at St. Luke's, the area where the organ and the altar table are elevated about 2.5 feet above the floor that the congregation sits on. And then the choir, the quartet, is behind the altar table, and we're up in a semicircular dome-shaped apse where the high altar is. So we kind of had the organ between us and the congregation and off to the side. One thing that we noticed with the reed organ, there's not a lot of, I wouldn't say a percussive attack to the beginning of a note. It doesn't have chiff that you get with a pipe organ or the percussive effect of a piano hammer striking a string. So some might say the sound is a little more mushy. You really have to have good eye contact with the person on the bench so that we lock in tempos. But in terms of the sound itself, it's a very good reinforcement for choral music. It's, I think, certainly preferable to trying to accompany an entire church service on a piano, which if you have to do it, that works, but I'm glad we found another option.
And you can experience what singing a hymn along with this organ will be at the recital. I'll be playing a chorale prelude on the tune Eventide, which we usually sing to Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide. I'll be playing a piece by Mr. Ralph Kinder, who is a Philadelphia organist and composer, first half of the 20th century. And then we'll all get to sing the hymn with the organ, so you can find out for yourself what it's like.
Mm-hmm. One of my downfalls is being a good, solid accompanist. And that's something to really have in your toolbox. Now, with this SD reed organ, it is making me a better accompanist. As Francis had pointed out, there is not that initial speak of the pipe.
Ping.
Like a singer would have an initial consonant instead of, you know, no hard C, K, D. This does not have that.
It's interesting you mentioned that. The harmonium, which was the French version of the reed organ, which operated on wind pressure rather than vacuum, which almost all of the American reed organs did, on the more elaborate models had a percussion stop, which had little piano-like hammers that struck the reed to give you more of an attack. So that smooth speech of a reed organ is just part of the tonal characteristics. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really excited to be doing this because the reed organ really has been overlooked, and especially in recent years. There's just very little interest in it, and I've seen just from Facebook posts about this instrument, the one Mother Barnes started a few weeks ago of Maria playing the organ and Francis cranking it during a hymn. That got several thousand likes on Facebook, just that one post, and lots of shares. So I've been putting up pictures and things like that. I've seen a number of requests for especially younger organists, where can I find an instrument like this to practice on at home or for a small church? So I consider it a sort of an outreach. Spread the good word.
I certainly would want to say that on behalf of all of St. Luke's, our vestry, all of our parishioners, we are incredibly indebted to the Masonic Temple and the Scottish Cathedral Rite Association for the loaning of this instrument to us. They have been incredibly generous, and to Francis McMullen and Maria Zengin and Justin Hartz for all of their tremendous work on bringing this instrument to not only St. Luke's, but to all of northeastern Pennsylvania to experience this very unique occasion, instrument, how do we say it, all of it.
Reverend Rebecca Barnes, priest in charge at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Scranton, Maria Zengin, organist and choir master at St. Luke's, baritone Francis McMullen at St. Luke's, and Justin Hartz, who is an authority on S.D. Reed organs, speaking with us in anticipation of a recital this Friday, October 27th, at 7 in the evening. Justin Hartz, a graduate of the Westminster Choir College and the Juilliard School of Music, and a regular guest organist at Longwood Gardens in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, will perform at the S.D. Reed organ in residence now at St. Luke's, St. Luke's Episcopal Church, 232 Wyoming Avenue in Scranton. He'll play Franck, Brahms, Vierne, and more. And for more information on the web, stlukesscranton.org, stlukesscranton.org. Justin Hartz performed earlier, before he came to the WVIA studios for this conversation, at St. Luke's at the S.D. Reed organ. And happily, Carl Schinko of Longfooter Productions was on hand and recorded that performing session, and we're sharing it with you here, Brahms. And we'll have a sample of American composer Arthur Bird, Improvisata. And again, it's Justin Hartz at the S.D. Reed organ from the Scranton Cultural Center on loan to St. Luke's Episcopal Church in downtown Scranton. Justin Hartz, a an authority on S.D. Reed organs performing at St. Luke's Church, recorded by Carl Schinko of Longfooter Productions and shared with us in anticipation of a recital that Justin Hartz will perform on Friday, October 27th at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in downtown Scranton. That's 232 Wyoming Avenue. He'll have Brahms, and that will be exciting to hear given the conversation today about Brahms, Franck, Vierne, and more. And it's at 7 in the evening. And for more information, on the web, stlukesscranton.org, stlukesscranton.org.